Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q3 2016 IFRS Financial Results conference call of ADVA Optical Networking. This call is being recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I now hand over to Mr. Stefan Rettenberger, ADVA Optical Networking's Vice President, Marketing and Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you, and a warm welcome from my side. This earnings call builds on a presentation which is available for download in PDF format from our homepage under www.advaoptical.com in the About Us/Investor Relations section. Should you not have the presentation in front of you, you may want to access it on the conference calls page in the financial results section of our investor relations website. Before we will lead you through the presentation, as always, please be informed that this presentation contains forward-looking statements with words such as believes, anticipates, and expects to describe expected revenues and earnings, anticipated demand for optical networking solutions, internal estimates, and liquidity. These factors are discussed in greater detail in the risk report section of our annual report 2015. Please also be reminded that we provide consolidated pro forma financial results in this presentation solely as a supplemental financial information to help the financial community make meaningful comparisons of our operating results from one financial period to another. This pro forma information is not prepared in accordance with IFRS and should not be considered as substitute for historical information presented in accordance with IFRS. We will target to limit this con call to 60 minutes. As usual, Brian will start to provide a business update and outlook. Then Uli will talk us through our Q3 2016 financials. And finally, we will have sufficient time for your questions, which we'll be happy to answer. Brian, please go ahead with the business update.
Thank you, Stefan. Page 4, Q3 2016 in review. Revenues rose by 30.4% versus the previous year's Q3 to 159.5 million. This result is at the upper end of our Q3 guidance. Q3 pro forma operating income was at euro 8.3 million, or 5.2% of revenues, within our guidance, which we forecasted to be in the 3%-6% range. Importantly, this was our 11th consecutive quarter with year-on-year growth. Our balance sheet remained strong in the third quarter of 2016, even with the large acquisition in Q1, and we invested in growth. Q3 gross cash was at 81.2 million euros. Our investments in open connectivity and networking solutions, which support the two megatrends, cloud and mobility, are driving rapid growth for ADVA Optical Networking. Looking at revenues, the success in the DCI space is allowing us to outperform the market. Furthermore, we have completed the integration of Overtur. It will, however, take some time to drive revenues from the acquired Ensemble software solutions in order to help the Overtur acquisition also support relative EBIT percentage gains. This will most likely start occurring in the second half of 2017. We now have to focus on profitable growth and drive greater leverage from higher revenues. We have made huge investments into technology over the last 24 months, which will allow us to increase our gross margins in 2017. Page 5. So what do our prospects for Q4 2016 look like? We continue to show strong revenue growth. In fact, our forecast shows that we should continue to grow at around 18% or close to 20% year-on-year when considering the midpoint of our guidance in Q4. This growth is being generated by the transition to the cloud by residential and enterprise users, the increase and by the increase of new customer wins and the many new customers we added through the Overtur acquisition. When looking at the regional breakdown, we see a real strength in North America and in some parts of Europe, whereby Metro 100G investments and data center interconnect opportunities are growing globally. We will continue to focus on innovation as major transformations such as cloud, software-defined networking, network function virtualization, and 5G will allow for differentiated products and solutions to win market share. In summary, we've been upgrading our entire product portfolio over the last months. We have very competitive solution platforms that enable us to win new footprint. Example of this are FSP 3000 Cloud Connect, our FSP 150 Pro family, and the launch of our fully integrated Ensemble software framework. With the new products, strong markets, and more focus on operational expenses post our Overture acquisition, we will increase profitably. We will increase profitability in the second half of 2016 and in 2017. Cloud and mobility are driving our market, page number 6. Cloud services are growing rapidly. The market leaders, AWS and Microsoft Azure Cloud, will exceed an annualized $20 billion run rate this year, and Google is investing aggressively as well. In fact, if you categorize AWS as a software company, as most analysts do, it is the fastest company to reach $10 billion of revenues, which they did in 2016. A big statement supporting the opportunity in the cloud. Add to this the 4K video, or Ultra HD, which will drive 25 megabit streaming versus the 5 megabit streaming needed for HDTV, and you have rapid bandwidth demand growing to the very edge of the network. This promises incremental investments and revenue for CSPs, driving investments in both the wireline and wireless infrastructure, which leads to the radio access network extensions and IoT. The RAN network continues to go through upgrades due to the requirements of higher speeds and feeds for mobile users. Again here, video is the biggest driving factor. And IoT leads to a multitude of more endpoints, essentially more end nodes, always on drive network extensions, and bandwidth increases. Even small bandwidth devices add up rapidly to drive network infrastructure when multiplied by many billions of sensors and related devices. The optical networking spend for WDM equipment should continue to grow every year with double-digit growth rates and is on track to reach $18 billion by 2020. Moving forward to page 7, the optical mega cycle, is it real? We think so. We strongly believe the coming optical upgrade cycle is larger and more robust than any previous optical cycles. While every previous cycle had one major driver and one or two smaller drivers, this cycle looks to be much bigger in scope with four major drivers, of which three drivers will impact our business in 2017. Any one of these three major drivers is significant enough to make us bullish on our opportunity for growth. This cycle should be larger and longer than any previous ones due to the opportunity size of each driver. And as is typical of these cycles, most investors remain skeptical and hesitant for the beginning of the cycle. The three major drivers affecting our business, and not including the China demand driver. Demand driver number one, Metro Core optical spend, having just started in the June quarter, should ramp sharply into calendar year 17 and continue strong growth into calendar year 18. The optical sector has been living on the modest demand from long-haul upgrades for the last years. The Metro Core market upgrade is long overdue and just starting to ramp. There are 10 to 30 times the number of connections in the Metro Core as there are in the long-haul networks. Service providers have no choice but to drive this upgrade. Current long-haul systems are delivering up to 96 channels of 100 gig into Metro Core networks with 1040 gig legacy WDM or even Sonnet SDH rings. Service providers are also building access network links with capacity equal to or greater than the Metro Core bandwidth capabilities, making aggregation into the core impossible, and thus amplifying the Metro Core bottleneck problem. Demand driver number two, Datacom upgrade cycle to the standardized 2500 gig architecture started to kick in calendar year 16 in the third quarter, this last quarter. This is an unprecedented upgrade. The transition from 1040 gig to 2500 gig architectures is a major upgrade cycle. The last upgrade to server speeds occurred around 10 years ago when we moved from 1 gig to 10 gig file layer support within the servers. Web 2.0 scaled data centers didn't even exist. The transition to 2500 gig is unprecedented and to have it occur at the same time as the Metro Core and China builds is leading to a lot of excitement and pent-up demand. And finally, the demand driver number three, the ICP demand curve, which already started in 2015, will continue to accelerate as data center builds and global connectivity of these DCs or data centers continue to ramp up at unprecedented levels. And of course, there are other future networking demands looming. There's a lot of discussion about the 30 to 40 times capacity increases in the coming 5G RAN wireless networks. The shift to 5G is a ways out, but service providers are expected to build the transport capacity before they build the 5G RAN. Industry expectations are estimating 5G will require 100 gig coherent transport to the radio towers and likely to be built on the soft-only base stations with virtualized commercial, off-the-shelf, white-label servers. Moving forward, page number 8, global market share. Next two slides show ADFA and some data from industry analysts. And as you can see, ADFA has done well to position our opportunity in both the enterprise segment as well as the ICP segments with DCI connectivity as one of our focus areas. As you can see by the content on this slide and also clearly on the next slide that covers the ICP market share, ADFA is a leader and growing with the market. Although the enterprise segment is relatively small, we continue to invest to differentiate our solutions. We will be introducing a number of new features relevant for this market going forward. Page number 9, the metro and short reach data center interconnect market share. Here too, ADFA is growing quickly in this ICP market, and we have one of the leading positions. We hope to continue to build market share in this space with our new Cloud Connect architecture and some of our latest releases, including our open line systems, allowing us to win a new footprint, which just recently allowed us to win a new footprint at one of the leading global ICPs. Page number 10, open systems for the DCI application. We are very proud of our positioning as the market leading open systems vendor within the optical community. We are a leader in DCI and in the metro markets, and this we understood very early during market development phase that our customers needed flexibility and freedom of choice. Thus, we committed to integrating leading Layer 2 and Layer 3 players such as Juniper and Arista, as well as interworking with Cisco. We even support other Layer 1 optical players, both as transponders and even optical plugs. As an example, we announced a working partnership with Infi, who announced their Color Z 100 gig fixed wavelength 80 kilometer plugs, which interworks with our Cloud Connect open optical line system, known as our OOLS. In fact, we have specifically designed plug and play technology into our OOLS, making it simple to install, manage, and we integrate our platforms through the open software layer based on standards. Thus, we have holistically committed to open networking and standards-based solutions with a special emphasis on letting our customers have choice in selecting hardware modules and software interfaces. Page number 11. Let's now move to the cloud access opportunity. The FSP 150 and Ensemble success story. We are a leader, and we have more differentiation in the network edge than ever before. As you see above, over the last 20 years, we were first to market during many phases of the business access opportunity. And once again, with our virtual CPE story for network function virtualization, we are better prepared for transformational change than ever before, and we believe than any of our competitors today. As with the optical layer, we are also completely open with our cloud access portfolio, giving our customers open solutions and allowing them to make choices. Choices in hardware, selection of the largest ecosystem of VNF applications in the entire market, and choices in location as to where they want to host those applications, value-added pieces within their network, but still seamlessly be able to offer new services with point-and-click simplicity through new tools and customer portals. Our NFE, or virtualization story, means open hardware, software, and services support. And my final slide, solution summary. During recent years, the world of technology and communications has become far more mobile, cloud, and software-oriented. But the foundations of success for virtualization, the cloud, and 5G rest on the shoulders of high-speed fixed networks. There will be more fiber to more endpoints than ever before. supporting an average long-term bandwidth growth of 30% each year. This backdrop will help ADFA grow in multiple different application spaces. On the right side of the slide, you see our optical networking platform providing high-speed connectivity between data centers and carrier hubs. Cloud services drive data center growth. This creates bandwidth and demand and further investments in optical capacity. On the left side of the chart, you see our cloud access solution space, where we connect enterprise users, mobile base stations, and the backhauling of traffic from the residential access infrastructure. Thanks to the acquisition of Overture in Q1, we have a broader and deeper solution portfolio at the edge of the network than ever before, with new footprint and capabilities. North American customers are responding now to our solutions. Last but not least, on the top of this slide, you'll see the new Ensemble software suite as the backbone of our solutions architecture to extend the cloud to the customers. That strategic reasoning behind and was the strategic reasoning on behind the Overture acquisition. ADFA Optical Networking is growing its reach by connecting, extending, and assuring the cloud so that our customers can transform their networks. And we are investing aggressively to make this vision a reality. I would now like to welcome Uli to cover our financial performance.
Thank you, Brian, and hello, everybody. Let us start with the financial highlights for Q3 2016, according to IFRS. The pro forma numbers presented here are calculated prior to non-cash charges related to stock-based compensation and amortization and impairment of goodwill and acquisition-related intangible assets. Unless stated otherwise, all numbers are presented in euro. Let's move to slide 14, please. IFRS quarterly revenue and pro forma profitability. As already stated by Brian, we ended Q3 2016 with revenues of 159.5 million euros, being ADFA's strongest quarter ever. This result is at the upper end of our revenue guidance of between 150 and 160 million euros and represents a 30% increase year over year. Again, this marks the 11th consecutive quarter with year-on-year growth. The increase in revenue was mainly driven by two factors: the demand for data center interconnect technology and the continued push for 100G in metro and regional networks. Due to the high revenue contribution of the ICP segment, relative gross profits remain low at 26.9% of revenues. Pro forma operating income in Q3 2016 was at 8.3 million euros, or 5.2% of revenues. This is in line with our guidance of between 3 and 6% of revenues and compares to 7.8% of revenues in Q3 2015. Let's move to the next slide, please. IFRS profitability. In Q3 2016, IFRS operating income was at 7.2 million or 4.5% of revenues, down from 8.5 million or 6.9% in Q3 2015. Key drivers for this development are the aforementioned reasons for lower pro forma operating income. Our Q3 2016 net income was at 3.3 million euros or 2%. This result was impacted by negative FX effects caused by the weakening US dollar at the end of September, as well as a Q3 tax charge predominantly resulting from our strong US business, using up our local deferred tax assets and taxable losses. Year to date, our net income adds up to positive 7.9 million euros. As the number of weighted average shares outstanding has not changed significantly, diluted EPS developed in proportion with IFRS net income to 7 cents a share. Next slide, please. Quarterly revenues per region. In Q3 2016, EMEA recorded revenues of 52.2 million euros, a 17 million decrease from the 69.5 million in the previous quarter, and representing now 33% of our Q3 revenues. This is below the 70 million achieved in Q3 2015 and mainly caused by the impact of the weak British pound, as well as timing and recognition effects of certain individual projects. After a very strong Q2, the Americas managed to grow even further in Q3 2016 and is showing an increase of 155% year over year. As in Q2, this is mainly driven by strong ICP business. Asia Pacific revenues were at 10.8 million or 7% of sales, which represents a 25% decrease year over year. But please note, due to the project nature of this business and a very small relative base, we will continue to see volatility in the quarterly revenue development within this region. Next slide, please. IFRS consolidated balance sheet. Cash remains strong at 81.2 million euros, keeping our net liquidity at a stable 20.3 million. Overall net working capital at 96.6 million improved compared to the 102.7 million reported at the end of Q2 2016, mainly due to the strong increase in accounts payables. Driven by strong revenues in Q3 2016, our trade accounts receivables remain at a high level at 112.1 million and DSO increase accordingly to 64.7 days. We continue to manage our inventories well, resulting in impressive inventory turn of 6.7. Trade accounts payable at 87.7 million increased from 77.1 million in the previous quarter. DPOs increased to 64.7 days and are now at the same level as our DSOs. Stockholders' equity at 220.6 million is slightly up from 218.1 million versus the end of last quarter. We continue to maintain a strong equity ratio of close to 50%. Next slide, please. IFRS consolidated cash flow statement. Cash flow from operating activities amounted to 15.7 million euros, up from the 12 million euros reported in Q3 2015, but down from the 22.4 million euros reported in Q2 2016. The decrease from Q3 to Q2 is mainly driven by net income. Cash flow used for investing activities is slightly higher than historic levels, reflecting our investments in future products and technologies. Cash flow from financing activities in Q3 2016 was at a negative 1.7 million, mainly consisting of serving existing loans. Accordingly, free cash flow came in at 11.8 million versus the 19 million reported in the previous quarter. Now I would like to share our guidance for Q4 2016. Next slide, please. We are committed to improving visibility and predictability of our business. As in the past, we will continue to provide projections for the current quarter only. Market growth drivers continue to be intact. Cloud and mobility continue to drive data center builds and expansions, thus driving demand for more interconnect capacity. Our long-term growth prospects continue to be very strong. As previously communicated, there are both risks and opportunities in realizing revenue, particularly in infrastructure business. We remain committed to a flexible cost and operating model that allows us to quickly adapt to changing market conditions. We will continue to drive operational efficiencies within all facets of the organization. We consequently project Q4 2016 revenues of between 125 and 140 million euros, with pro forma operating income to range between 4 and 7% of revenues. We will continue to perform detailed reviews of the expected business development in respect of all intangible assets, including capitalized development projects. In case of highly adverse business prospects, such a review may result in non-cash impairment charges in Q4 2016 or beyond. Pro forma operating income guidance we have provided today excludes any such potential impairment charges. Next, and my final slide, please. In summary, our strong top-line growth continues. Our momentum in the DCI space allows us to outperform the market. We grow faster than our competition and took the number one position in Metro DCI for internet content provider and carrier-neutral providers. We further expand our leadership in DCI for private enterprise networks. And our FSP 3000 Cloud Connect is slightly behind schedule, but is starting to ramp up. The integration of Overture is complete and synergies have started to materialize. We have first cross-selling success with the expanded portfolio of Ethernet access devices. NFV continues to be the hot topic in our industry and innovation is more important than ever. We are building thought leadership in this space through Ensemble, our new strategic division focused on NFV. With Ensemble, we are now active in more than 20 customer engagements with carriers around the globe. And I thank you for your participation in today's call. And with that, I'd like to turn the call over to the operator to begin the Q&A portion of the call.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now starting the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Your questions will be answered in the order they are received. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Oliver Packer, ODDO BHF.
Yes, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks a lot for taking my question. My first question is for Brian on Cloud Connect. Can you give us a revenue figure for Q3? And maybe generally speaking, so far the rollout this year was a little bit slower than expected. Is it now on track? And also maybe on Infinera, they just announced their Cloud Express 2. Do you see this as a possible threat going forward that maybe Atva might fall behind the curve due to the delay in the rollout?
So point one, we're about 3 months behind. We had said initial shipments in Q2, low single-digit millions in Q3, and then moving to double-digit millions in Q4. And, you know, we shipped first products. We got a handful of customers in Q3, small volumes. So first shipments this quarter in Q4, we'll do, you know, low millions, and then we'll move to double digits starting early next year. So about 3 months behind the curve on the Cloud Connect. And the reasons were, you know, a number of issues from just yields, you know, scaling output, software and hardware challenges, but we have them all under control, and we're moving forward at this point. But we lost some time. The second piece, Infinera, is actually behind the curve, not Atva. You know, we're already selling QAM 16 200 gig wave solutions with the Cloud Connect. When they come in with their QAM 16 solution set 200 gig waves, they're having to catch up. So 16 QAM is standard technology today. We offer it, and you'll see us bringing a lot more to market in 2017 and 2018. So feel very, very competitive in our positioning.
Okay, got it. And maybe a question on the geographic split. So in Q3, you was down 25% year-over-year. So what are the key reasons? Is it competitive pressure, or do you see that your customers overspend their CapEx early in this year? What are the key reasons?
I think it's customer mix and product mix. You know, we had a little bit in the, you know, the UK, the pound hurts, some softness and, you know, some customers there, summer months in some of the other regions in Europe. But we think actually Q4 is going to come back nicely. So if you look at the big picture, really strong North America Q3, weaker Europe, but we think Europe's going to come back nicely in Q4, maybe not such a strong North America, which means, you know, better margins and our stronger forecast on the profitability piece.
Okay, got it. Maybe a question on the ICP share in Q3. What was it, and do you see it on a similar level right now in Q4?
Yeah, I think if you look at the first 9 months, I think Q4 will be in a similar view. I think Q3 was a little bit higher, but when you look at the big picture, first three quarters versus Q4, yes, consistency.
Because I remember in Q2 it was around 25%, so is it a fair assumption that in Q3 it was around 30%?
Yes, it was up some there and higher, but on the year average will be more like in the 25% range.
Got it. And maybe a question on the Overtur acquisition. So they got a couple of tier one carrier customers in the U.S. Have you been able so far to use this as a cross-selling opportunity?
Yes, we've won one so far. We're in front of many of them, and most importantly is the Ensemble software architecture that we got with that acquisition, which addresses NFV very effectively in the virtual CPE. So essentially, in the past, people, for every software application, you'd sell a hardware box. It was an appliance built specifically for that software application. And our story with the Ensemble piece is that it's like the iPhone. We sell one box based on Intel CPU capability, and then we drive applications out onto that box, which means fewer boxes, less complexity, point and click type of distribution of applications out to customers, and we have all that capability. We have the hardware, we have the software, we have the ecosystem with the certified applications. All of that's available, and that's what we're driving out to that customer base.
And maybe a housekeeping question on Overture. So what was the revenue contribution in Q3?
I'm not sure if we actually break that out. Uli, do we break that out at this point? I mean, we tightly integrated the Kara Ethernet products into our existing architecture and already started to, cross-build. So I'm not sure. Uli?
Yeah, we can break it out. And if you look into our nine-month report, you will see a number which is not 100% accurate because we extrapolated, but it's about 10 million.
About 10 million. Okay. Then maybe a question on the margin side. Brian, you mentioned at the beginning of the call that the gross margin 2017 should be higher. You made a couple of investments. Can you maybe provide some more details on the statement?
So clearly, new generation of technology is a lot lower cost per port, 100 gig port, and 100 gig margins are the ones that have hurt us in the middle of 2016. Highly scaled 100 gig port count on older technology means lower margins, and as we bring out the Cloud Connect and scale that out there, we're going to get better margins there, point one. Point two, as we drive more software revenues and things like our sync and timing revenues, they're much higher margin contributions than the standard optical sales into our CSPs or our ICPs. So I think a combination of a few things will help our margin profile.
Got it. And maybe two questions for Uli on the pro forma EBIT margin. So the margin is down year over year by around 260 basis points. Is it possible to give a breakdown where this is coming from? So can you maybe break out what portion of the decline can be attributed to the Brexit? What portion is product mix and so on? Can you give us a rough breakdown?
I mean, clearly the lower gross margin is the main contributor to the low EBIT. But also, if you look into, the British pound is down about now. It's I guess 15% if you compare it with previous periods. So this is significant. I mean, we have a 90 to 100 plus million euro business in the UK. So this is a significant impact on the EBIT.
Okay. Then maybe last question from my side on the tax rate in Q3. I think everyone was a little bit surprised. Tax rate was 45%. So what really happened there, and what can we expect going forward?
First of all, I always recommend them to look at taxes on a yearly basis. On a quarterly basis, it's tough and misleading, especially if you do acquisitions and you have special effects there. For Q3, of course, if we had strong revenues and strong profits in the U.S. and we basically used up all of our usable tax losses for the year. So to come back to your question, what can we expect for the year? I always said we will be in the very low single digits percentage range, and I guess this is what you can do the math for Q4 then.
Okay, very low single digits range. Okay. Thanks a lot, gentlemen. Good luck for Q4.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Leo Bayer, Hauck & Aufhäuser.
Good afternoon. Gentlemen, thanks for taking my question. Given that Olli has covered quite a lot, I think I would like to hear some more qualitative statements maybe. First of all, can you give us an idea, maybe Brian, about how many, so the amount of Cloud Connect customers you have served, so how many received actual Cloud Connect devices in Q3, and how does that seem to be ramped up in quantities or in percentage in Q4?
So, again, we had said a handful of customers that we have for the Cloud Connect at this point where we shipped, and we expect that to grow further in Q4 and start to ramp rapidly in 2017.
Okay, I see. But a further quantification of that you're not willing to share.
In what respect? I think we said low millions, low single-digit millions in Q4, going to double-digit millions early next year.
Okay, great. Can you give us an idea about the migration pattern of existing customers? How many are in lab trials, in field trials with Cloud Connect, or how many are you expecting to move into the next stage, so in order to get them closer to delivery?
That's another way to state the same question. So I'm going to repeat myself. So I think, you know, again, we're talking to all of our customers. The Cloud Connect is part of our FSP 3000 architecture. We have hundreds of customers, hundreds of network management, NMS customers, and the Cloud Connect's going to go into all those customers. It's going to be the 100 gig preferable chassis. It's not a new architecture in itself. It can stand alone as an architecture, but it is part of our FSP 2000 family. So you're going to see us ramp rapidly. It's not like a new thing that we then go out there and here you start with one customer and go to 10, whatever. We've got hundreds of customers we're going to go access. We're pushing in all those customers as we speak, and as we're able to ship more product and ramp more aggressively, we'll drive out in very scalable approach. So it goes from single numbers to tens of customers and then hopefully hundreds of customers within a 6-month period of time, because it just gets flown in a hybrid model into all of our customer base.
Thank you. That's helpful. If I may shift the topic, yesterday in the Telefonica Deutschland conference call, they talked about a 5G rollout, and obviously you mentioned that from time to time, always in your presentations, that this seemed to be a growth driver. And the CEO actually made the comment that currently radio towers, only 20% of Telefonica Deutschland's radio towers, let them be leased or owned, are connected to fiber. And obviously this needs, or there's a significant need to improve, to increase that to, 80-90% that radio towers need to be connected in order to fulfill 5G purposes. Can you give us an idea if Telefonica Deutschland is already customers of yours, and how do you see that evolving? And do you see already bendings in this infrastructure direction, or do you see that you're in close discussions with them? Because I expect that to be a rollout way ahead of time in order to deliver 5G to customers when it becomes reality, probably 19 or 20.
You ask difficult questions. I don't think we've gone live, but what our relationship is with certain customers. But I feel very good about what you're telling me, that it goes from 20 to 90%, and I think that ADFA will benefit from it strongly. So ADFA is very well positioned, especially in Central Europe and all of these rollouts of the major players. And the issue is, yes, we're absolutely going to have to increase the number, fiber connectivity, but then not just the fiber connectivity piece, but also the bandwidth to the towers. Cell towers are going to increase radically with 5G. In addition, new technologies, sync and timing, we've been talking about it for some time. We bought a company, we're a global leader, one of two, and how that flows into our other architectures. And you'll see nicely differentiated solutions there from us for 5G infrastructure. So it's good stuff for us. That's why we do talk about it, because we are, seeing that as one of the pent-up demand that will come to play, 2018, 2019, maybe partly in 2017, where we see RFPs and decisions being made on the technology that's needed, and ADFA is well positioned there. So upgrading existing customers, winning new footprint, and yes, we're very much exposed to a lot of this infrastructure that you asked about.
Okay, since we have apparently covered the difficult question, maybe an easy question here for you. I looked into the earnings transcript, the earnings call transcript of Infinera from yesterday, and they're talking in general about soft spending environment. They're talking about an unacceptable quarter, according to the CEO. Their sales declined massively there, so it implies that ADVA, also looking at the regional sales split, is growing massively in the U.S., and that you're grabbing market share there. Is that an incorrect assumption, or is there somebody else who's benefiting from their weakness, so to speak?
Well, I'd say that, in all fairness, I think that optical's growing. I think that their exposure to the long-haul piece and the early investment dollars from some of the large tier ones and some of the wholesalers in the United States and MSOs, where they built out the 100-gig layer and the long long-haul network first, and now they're moving into that metro piece. I think they're not as strong. Clearly, they made the acquisition of Transmode, but you know, Transmode, I had always indicated, was a smaller European player, no footprint in the United States. So now it was a challenge for them to go in and bring that technology and win against some of the incumbents in the United States. That's not easy. And we'll see if they can successfully do that over the next 1, 2, and 3 years. So I think, you know, there's a market shift. That's one piece. The second piece, I think that open systems, you know, we keep pushing it. I've been pushing it to you guys for 2 years that people don't want to be captured. They want to have choice. And people want to choose vendors that are going to give them choice, especially some of the cloud opportunities. And therefore, you know, I think that some of the other vendors in the U.S. did fairly well, including a Ciena in driving market share. So I think they struggle a little bit there, too, fundamental to an architecture. Yet, again, a good company, they got good opportunities, et cetera. But I think it's more company relevant, market segment relevant, and maybe some struggles in some of the high growth areas right now they're facing. In general, I go back to our mega cycle. I think ICPs are investing aggressively. They grew 50-60%. So people that are exposed to that market piece, and if you look, and I don't remember what page it was, but I think page number 9 was it? I think in our presentation was the DCI global market share, and so ADVA, you know, has a good piece of that and is growing quickly. And therefore, yes, we were exposed to right segments and were able to grow. It is, though, and as we've always said, very volatile, very, you know, quick-making, fast-charging organizations, have a huge amount of cash, huge amount of investment capability, making rapid decisions on their infrastructure and moving, you know, light speed. All things that actually are good for ADVA, because I think we can move extremely quickly with them. But it is a volatile market space, and I think therefore you will, you know, you see this quarter great revenues, and we're still unsure a little bit about Q4 because of, you know, some of those customers, and then the operational back office, back end supply chain stuff, and being able to support them. So long answer, but I think that I don't want to go out there and say we're taking massive market share in the United States. We have some very good customers, and we're growing quickly there.
Thanks for the long and good answer.
The next question comes from Tim Savager, Northland.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
We can.
Okay, great. I can tell if I'm muted or not. Good morning from San Francisco. Couple of questions. So I want to kind of dig into the regional and market-focused developments as we move from Q3 to Q4 here. If I heard you right, it sounds like you're expecting, and you tell me whether this is the case or not, kind of a typical seasonal European-type bounce in the business, which, you know, if you look historically for guys like Alcatel or something like that, that's definitely a solid double-digit sequential increase, if not 20%. And, you know, if that's the case, I just want to dig into kind of the dynamics in the U.S. market. I mean, it looks to some degree like you've had kind of a pretty heavy volume of, you know, project-oriented cloud business here in Q2 and Q3, and that's kind of, you know, normalizing back to a level closer to where we started the year in Q4, although still well above, prior year levels, right? Still sort of a dramatic amount of U.S. growth. I wonder if that's a fair characterization of what's happening, at least geographically, as we move from Q3 to Q4, and then I want to kind of follow up on the product and market side.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think, you know, Europe coming off a lower base in Q3 is going to grow into Q4. And let's say, you know, transparency to the numbers and the projects in Q4, it was a little bit more difficult. End of Q3 moving into Q4, I think things are solidifying, but we've got some issues with the supply chain at the same time. So, you know, late order flows won't help us as much in Q4 as they could in other quarters. So we're kind of trying to manage that environment that you just discussed.
Got it. And that's very helpful. And, you know, maybe following on to that, given, you know, some of the, I won't say one time, but some of the notable cloud strength you've had in 16, you know, I note in your kind of overall market outlook commentary, you're talking to an overall market growth rate of 9% or so, which we, you know, we hear numbers in that range from really across the industry. Ciena talks to kind of a mid-single-digit growth and then some share gain or something like that. I happen to think that, you know, market growth is probably in double digits. But, you know, I wonder if you could talk about, and realizing you don't want to guide for 17, but if you can talk about your ability to achieve kind of market growth plus, given that Av has obviously been in a share gain position on a consistent basis, especially coming off such a strong year for U.S. cloud.
So I'm going to see if I cover what you actually want here, and that is, you know, bandwidth's going 30-plus percent. Some people say even quite above that nowadays. And again, you know, you the industry analysts and the financial analysts that are doing the homework there, you know, all understand the demand drivers that we try to talk about in our presentation today. So it's really about pricing stability. So what's going to go on? You know, 16 QAM, the move to 200 gig waves, the next move, you know, terabit, 400 gig, you know, as things come down the pipeline and how pricing evolves, you know, it's all about that because, you know, if we have tighter supply chains and more pricing stability, you know, who knows where you land. That's, I think it's a good conservative view to say high single digits and from that view, but can you say double-digit growth? Absolutely. You can make that case very, very quickly because the bandwidth growth is there. It's huge, and it's getting better. So I think there's that piece. And then the second piece, I think, you know, market share, I understood that as from a company-specific perspective, if we can keep our market share, and I think that's the challenge that we have in front of us. If we can keep our market share, we can continue to grow nicely with the right customers. And I think we have some really cool technology. I believe that we can place it in other accounts, and we hope to keep all of our existing accounts so that we drive market share gains, essentially. But there's lots of challenge out there, Mark. Very fast-moving market, and Adva's got to move.
Got it. Oh, okay. Well, let me follow up on the bottom line. Looks like, well, as a result of mix, you expect a pretty solid increase in gross margins. I don't know if we can talk to back over the or around the 30% level in Q4, if you'd care to be that specific. It sort of implies that depending on what you assume from an operating expense perspective, which I'd love to hear some commentary on as well, given you obviously demonstrated some very strong operating expense controls in Q3, part of the good bottom line performance. I wonder if you could, you know, if you continue to expect a downward trajectory sequentially in OpEx in Q4 as you, you know, gain synergies from Overture or what have you, or how do we think about the interplay between gross margin improvement and operating margin, operating expense declines as you're able to achieve or target a higher operating margin in Q4 despite the revenue decline?
So I'd like to make one comment on that. Maybe, Uli, I don't know if you want what piece you want of this, but remember, we're at IFRS, so our gross margins are a lot lower than U.S. GAAP equivalents because of the capitalization and depreciation of some R&D expenses. So just want to make this sure that people understand that that's quite a bit higher than a U.S. GAAP equivalent.
Yep.
Uli, do you want to take it from there?
So in general, I guess as you can imagine, the OPEX pressure is really high, salaries are going up, so I would not expect that our OPEX will decrease even further. This is, I guess, pretty much unrealistic, especially in an environment when we heavily invest in new technologies and new products. So I guess this is a tough one. I guess our profitability gain going forward needs to come from higher gross margins, period, not from a significantly lower cost base. Of course, we always say we have a flexible OPEX model. Yes, we do, and we can adjust, but we want to grow and we want to invest in future technology. And this future technology hopefully leads us to higher gross margins and higher, better bottom line.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01. We have no further questions for the moment. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded.
Thank you, thank you to everybody, and look forward to talking to you soon, at latest at the next financial analyst call. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may now disconnect.